Ma chère Duclay, it has been too long since I wrote last. My restless wanderings are partly to blame, but it's mostly the roadkill. Such overabundance. A crow such as myself is spoiled for choice. Do not think my state of distraction in any way reflects upon my feelings for you. So often I am guided by instinct. Then belatedly, the reasoning part of my brain will make course corrections, usually too late to avert the spectacle of scavengers at work. I have, however, made some improvements to my usual procedures. For years I've been vexed by the need to wait on accidents or the carnage left by the larger predators, hominids, anyone, to feed myself. I've got rid of the middleman, or middle person, so to speak. Squirrels, I've lately discovered, fear us. Even our shadows are enough to elicit a rational, fear-based behavior. With disarming predictability, squirrels will run from our shadows and occasional strafing, without paying much attention to where they are running to. How easy it is to chase a fearful squirrel into traffic. Kersplat, to use an Americanism, es ist kaputt. After which, I need only wait for the vehicular traffic to abate, and, as my brother Corvids will often say, que abundanza, mama. You undoubtedly catch my drift. My days have been taken up exploring the limits of empiricism, all for the purpose of... dot, dot, dot. In my next letter, I will discuss, with your kind indulgence, my new mastery, rudimentary tool use, your doting Corvus Corona. P.S. I have mapped out a plan for our divagations.
Carissimo Derive, or might I even say, yo, lo Derive. In the time that has passed between our correspondence, I hesitate to say this, given the body count in your letter, I have gone vegan, don't ask, partly due to living further from the road, and partly due to a sudden weakness for squirrel cuteness. You can imagine it is nowhere near as easy to coax an aubergine into oncoming traffic. But surprisingly, not only am I not molting, my feathers have taken on a new shine, which definitely could be down to the olive oil puddles I frequent in the nearby house. So, Derive, what do you make of this change of diet? Meanwhile, as radically, I have joined a cross-species consciousness-raising group, CSCR. Tesoro, you have no idea. We have taken to discussing the concept of safe, post what the two-legged hominibs, as you term them, called the pandemic. Because we are trying to build bridges, I resisted pointing out that our pandemic walked in on two legs. In any event, a crow's idea of safe includes our infallible ability to exercise facial recognition. How shocked was I to find that the humans among us were aping. This is precisely the kind of language CSCR is trying to discourage. The gorilla at the table cut her, whoops, their eye at me. Our gift of facial recognition through some form of rudimentary technology. Anyway, nobody's perfect, and certainly not this crow. More soon, sending my vegetable love, your very own Duray.
Darling Duray, in my mind's eye, I see you trying to coax an aubergine into oncoming traffic. Pauvre aubergine. If only the sad aubergine were, how I detest this usage, gifted with flight. They would then be able to escape the butchery that comes from being anywhere near an automobile. In my lately revised thinking, a vegetable suffers a fate not too different from that of a squirrel. I know some of our more retardataire friends would find this notion objectionable, but I truly believe most of what we have heretofore considered mere objects have the same claims on personhood as we do. This would tend to enlarge the circle of our acquaintance by several orders of magnitude. It does not mean, of course, that we must do without nutrition. If an aubergine, traffic flattened, or pristine plump, is to your taste, I say eat it. Just be mindful of your debt not only to a specific aubergine, but to the entire vegetable kingdom. Express your gratitude openly and without embarrassment. Meanwhile, I'll just snack on a little squirrel sushi. And my darling Dore, if you could tell me how I might find one of your cross-species consciousness-raising groups, I will set aside some more silvery, glittering objet for your vast trove. You're devoted. Place your favorite binomial classification here. Try Guy Debord. P.S. I was hoping we might return to the ontology of the promeneur is.
Cher Dore's roué. Ah, my roguish Derive, which of course signals not only your wit and charm, but your corvine habit of digression. At the moment, the experimental form of cross-species consciousness-raising group means that meetings tend to be pop-up. Please excise visions of squirrels and aubergines here. In part because the very munching you allude to, and the pain involved, puts the CSCR at risk. Recently, in a heated exchange about mammal supremacist systemic injustice, a wolf almost ended the dialogue mid-sentence, or what passes for sentences among the crustaceans. Promeneur ooze, how good of you to remind me to return derivishly to this. Aren't these grammatical endings quaint? Hidden up under the language we adapt to our own uses in these missives is the endless boring hominid binary, girl, guy. Ugh. I must spend a moment scratching with a stick in order to A, find sustenance, and B, still my annoyance. Back to the matter at feet. So those wanderers, those de borderline personality disorderers, amongst them mimic bipedally, are glorious soaring. Plumage equips the lazy contemplator of all things below, as well as the occasionally strolling crow. Whoops, upstart crow effect on that last rhyme sentence. Dear Derive, forgive my rhyming ways. Observing the changes in the air these last months compels me to note that confinement drains the world we know of the vital aimlessness that gives rise to invention. Tool use on our part, music on theirs. You know how fond I am of that low crow crooning of that cross-species cat Barry White. Mon amour, amore mio, when shall we set off with no purpose in mind, except ruffling some deserving feathers?
Ma très chère Dore, we are animals meant to soar, but so often we're undone by our nostalgie de la boue. What tastes, you, ma chère, are not implicated, we have cultivated. Corvids should aspire to elevation rather than debasement. Ever since reading your latest, I felt such shame and remorse. I've gone off roadkill. Scavenging itself has come to seem an evolutionary dead end, however much it recommends itself as a clever expedient. But as a culinary practice, trafficking in dead things is like Nowheresville. Lately, in a very diverting sequence of poems, I encountered the epigraph, Degenerate Necrophagistic Appetites, Duke of Salaperuta. Those who eat dead things are degenerate. Even worse, they are the source of multiform evils, fixed pronouns, the I, the we, etc. I have determined in the course of my researches proceed from the ugly practice of eating things that are dead and in a state of decomposition. This derivation calls for much explaining, but in order to do so, I would need to use the word I. How very awkward. Explanations of evil require evil to explain themselves. Do you ken? My mother was Aberdonian, one of the crows of Aberdeen. Can we ruffle some feathers without entering into meat-based subject-object relations? Help! Your increasingly solemn derive. P.S. The only consolation I take from these thorny circumstances is that for our hominid, sapiens, don't make me laugh. Friends, so much creatures of property relations and tiresome self-assertion. It is much, much worse.